We got started in chapter 2, and we got up to the point where Daniel is going to come forward with the answers to Nebuchadnezzar's dream. All of his experts, you know, all the different ones that he had in the kingdom, he knew that they probably made up most of what they said. Well, this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of this great metallic image, it so startled him and so upset him that he wasn't going to be satisfied with the typical nonsense that came from his so-called experts. So he required them to tell him the dream and then give the interpretation, so he would know whether they really had any kind of power or authority to figure this thing out. Well, they all had their excuses, and they all said that in verse number 11, no one can tell you this, king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with men. So they admitted very clearly that they had no real communication with their gods. What good is a god if you have no relationship with him, right? We serve the only living and true God. It's an amazing thing that God would be willing to commune with us who are all condemned sinners, who can be saved by grace through faith and be born into his family and have a relationship with the living God. What a great privilege that is. And we especially remember that during this Passion Week, all that our Lord suffered for us. And often we are so unwilling to do much in return to him or for him. All right, so we got down through verse number 11. So we're going to begin, of course, with 12. And so we're going to read 6 at a time. So, George, if you would read 12 through 17. And then I need a volunteer to read 18 through 23. Ms. Sherry, I see that hand. 18 through 23, then 24 through 29. Billy, you want to take that? And then 30 through 35. 30 through 35, Becca. 36 through 41. 36 through 41, Miss Betty. And then 42 through 47. Let's go ahead and do 42 through the end, 49. 42 through 49, who'll take those? Scotty, you want to do that? Can you still read with your collarbone broken? Scotty had another fall. He blamed his age. He's 45. I mean, are you kidding me? 45? That's like a child. But anyway, pray for Scotty. He broke his collarbone. I'm just glad you didn't break your neck.
Or, you know, get crushed and killed.
Yeah, that probably hurt a lot too, yeah. Yeah. All right, George, go ahead and start out.
For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions,
that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in his spirit. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him.
I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we ask of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king your interpretation." Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation." The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be." As far as I go?
I don't know. I don't have it memorized. Did you do, how many, did you do six?
Yeah, I'm next. 30 through 35.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay, good job.
But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. But for their sakes, thou shalt make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. That was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given unto thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art his head. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as for the breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay.
And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to to the king, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face, and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel, and said, Of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king.
All right, thank all of you for reading. All right, this is the chapter 2 is the beginning of number 1, Prophecies of Daniel. That'll carry us through chapter 12, which is the end of the book. A, underneath that, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was intimidating. We saw that in verses 1 through 11. And then B, Nebuchadnezzar's dream was interpreted, verses 12 through 45. And I have a multitude of various points that I'm not going to give you because it's kind of tedious. I've got almost every verse or every couple of verses with a title by it. I'm not going to give you all that. But in all of this, the Bible teaches at least two great presuppositions or assumed truths. The first one is the fact that God exists. God exists. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, how does that verse start? In the beginning, God. Okay, so it's assumed that the one that approaches the Bible and begins to read it says, yes, I believe that God exists. And the New Testament dittos that, because if we're going to come to God, we have to first believe that he exists. That's in the book of Hebrews. Secondly, we have to assume that God is a God who reveals himself to man. God reveals himself to man. And we certainly see that here in the book of Daniel. Daniel continued to show his real character, because what we're really made of is manifested in times of difficulty. It's not hard to live for Jesus, to say we love him and we have great faith in him when everything is going well. When we feel good and we got money in the bank and our job is secure and our family's doing well and we got money in the bank and all those good things, it's very easy to say, praise the Lord, I love Jesus. But what about when things start to unravel? Our health begins to fail, or financial issues arise, or our children or grandchildren begin to give us trouble, or we have marital difficulties. How do we respond to those? Daniel was a man of great character. It was quite evident in the way he responded in this very, very difficult. I mean, this is a life and death situation. His life was on the line, wasn't it? But he showed wisdom, he showed discretion, he showed boldness. He continued to be a young man of great faith. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that was willing to praise and thank God as well, giving God all the glory, all the credit for all the things that he did for Daniel and therefore for the Jewish people. We'll see how Daniel showed compassion, asking that the condemned lives be spared. He could have. It's a great way for him to get rid of all these supposed wise men of Babylon. You know, King, I was the only one that could do this. All these other guys supposed to be the experts. They're the wise ones. Maybe they should be eliminated, but he was a man of compassion. He didn't do that. All right, so let's look at some highlights of these verses that were read. I'm not going to read all of them again. We know, of course, the king was extremely furious. And the idea was he was so mad his face was distorted with anger. And he commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be killed. So the word came to Daniel, and Daniel answered, the KJV says, with counsel or with discretion and wisdom or discernment. Arioch was the captain of the king's guard. They were the ones that were the executioners. And so Daniel said, wait a minute, wait. Why is the decree so urgent? Need to have a little bit of time here. So Daniel went in and desired of the king, verse 16, that it would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. So again, Daniel exercised great faith, but he also exercised holy boldness that he was willing to go into the king. You know, that was a serious thing. You didn't just waltz into the king and start spewing nonsense. He knew that this also put his life in danger. So Daniel went back home. Evidently, he lived there with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, his friends. And they also were young men of faith, obviously, and courage. And so he said, gentlemen, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And so they got on their faces before God, and they sought the mercies, the compassion of Almighty God, the God of heaven, concerning the secret or mystery. Mystery is something previously hidden that is now revealed. We find those, of course, in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was often used as God's vessel to reveal previously hidden mysteries and bring them out into the open regarding the Lord and his church. So then the secret, the mystery, was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And immediately Daniel gave all the glory to God. And Daniel then began sort of a mini, almost like a psalm, a series of praises to God. He said in verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Because Daniel understood that the wisdom of man, as Paul reiterated in the New Testament, is but foolishness to God. And that's why God says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. And we lack wisdom, don't we? We've got to ask God all the time, Lord, please give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me direction. And then he talked a little bit about who God is. He said, you know, our God, the God of heaven, is one that changes the times and the seasons. It doesn't happen by accident. It's not just nature. God is in control. He's in control of everything, including our seasons. We've entered into spring. Not very spring-like this morning. It's 29 degrees around 9 o'clock. I don't know what it was before that. That's pretty cold for almost April, isn't it? So God is sovereign. God is in control. He sets kings up. He removes them. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And he's talking about those that appear to have intelligence. If anyone has any intelligence, it's because God gave it to them. He, God alone, reveals the deep and secret or hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And the idea is that God alone is light. We live, of course, in a world of darkness. And as born-again believers, we are to be the light of the earth. Jesus is the light. He went on to thank God and praise God. Sometimes we forget to do that. When we pray and God answers our prayers, we forget to be a thankful people. We mention that often because it's a common problem today. And he went on in the last part of verse 23, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So then Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel said to him, please don't destroy the wise men of Babylon. There's his compassion. Again, he had a way that he could have had them all destroyed. He said, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And so Arioch brought in Daniel very quickly in haste. And Arioch said, I found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king said, do you know the dream? Daniel said, I sure do. I sure do. And I also know the interpretation. And so Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers or the conjurers, the magicians, the soothsayers or the diviners, ones who predict the future, they're not able to show this unto the king. And then I highlighted and underlined the first part of verse number 28. But there is a God in heaven. Please remember, when times get hard, there is a God in heaven. And he has not removed himself from us. If we don't feel he's reachable, it's not God, it's us. Because God sticks closer than a brother, does he not? So if he feels far away and you feel like I'm not getting a hold of God when I pray, it's not God's fault. It could be that there is sin in our hearts and lives. It could be that we're not exercising faith, believing, really truly believing from our hearts that God hears and answers prayer. It could be that we're asking for the wrong reasons, as James brings out. Maybe we're asking amiss that we might consume it with our own lusts. So please understand that there is a God in heaven, and he will reveal those mysterious things. And he certainly did here to Daniel. He said, I will make known through God what shall be in the latter days. So Daniel refused to take any credit. He gave all the glory to God. And Daniel said, King, what you saw was what's going to come to pass hereafter. Now, this again put Daniel in a very bad position, humanly speaking. Because I don't know if it's very smart to go into a king and say, oh, by the way, king, not going to be long. You're going to be, your kingship's going to be over. Yeah, that would be dangerous. And he that revealeth secrets or mysteries makes known to thee what shall come to pass. And he again says, but as for me, this secret or this mystery is not revealed to me because I'm wiser than anybody else, but for the purpose that the king might know the interpretation, God gave it to me. So again, he gives the glory to Almighty God, that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. And thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. An image so big that it made even you, great king, look small. This great or large image whose brightness was excellent, some translations have, was extraordinarily splendid. Something to behold. It was beautiful. The form thereof was terrible or awesome. And then he describes the image. He said it had a head of fine gold. The breast and his arms were silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, probably more accurately, bronze. His legs were of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay. And then he talks about an unusual thing that happened in verse 34. As you continued looking, there a stone came, a stone that was out of the ordinary, a stone that was not cut with hands. And the stone appeared out of nowhere and smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces, literally crushed them. Now, iron and clay, they don't mix very well, do they? They don't bond at all. There's certainly weakened strength when you have miry clay mixed with iron. So the whole thing was standing on a foundation that was not very strong, was it? Because these were kingdoms of men. Now again, God is sovereign and in control, but they were still kingdoms of men. They were run by men. They were run by feeble flesh. He goes on in verse 35, he said, then was the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold crushed to pieces. Crushed into powder. How do you know that? Well, because look at the next statement. Became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. You know, the chaff would blow away with the wind, would it not? So these kingdoms were so weak and feeble that when they were crushed by this stone that appeared, broke them not only into pieces, but crushed them. And they blew away like they never existed. That's encouraging. Then was the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer floor, threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, and there was no place. No trace was found. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So this stone that came and crushed the image would end up being a kingdom that would fill the earth. And we know the stone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about him, often called the stone. The stone of the corner. Pardon?
The stone was rejected by the builders.
Amen. Several scripture in Old and New Testament talk about the stone. And of course, ultimately it speaks of not only the thousand-year reign of Christ, the millennial kingdom, but also of eternity. So once the stone destroys all these kingdoms, then the Lord will set up his kingdom, rule and reign for 1,000 years, and us that are born again with him. And that will usher in then the eternal state. I mean, this is remarkable. It's hundreds of years before Christ. And the detail is remarkable. It's remarkable. He said, okay, that's the dream. Now, and I like the way it's worded here in the Bible. The Spirit of God, of course, directed Daniel's thoughts. Daniel said, this is the dream. Didn't he? He didn't say, I'm pretty sure this is what it means. I'm pretty sure this is what the dream was. Now, he knew. Why? Because God had shown him. There's no benefit in doubting the word of God. That's what the devil loves to do. He did it to Eve in the very beginning. Ah, surely God didn't say that. That's what the world does. The Bible's clear about so many things. I mean, vividly clear, and yet humanity says, I don't know. That was back then.
Billy. When we get ahead to chapter 7, but one of the things
I'm
reading about right now.
You love chapter 7.
Is that the very scholars of the Word of God, and I use that term loosely, deny these things were actually revealed. This happened after the fact. they recorded, somebody recorded this later and they put the name Daniel on it. They just can't come to the point of believing that God can reveal it because he knows everything.
Amen.
Beginning from the end.
He's either God or not, right? He's either who he claims to be, or it's like the words of Christ. He either was a lunatic, out of his mind, or he was and is who he claimed to be. It's one or the other. If he's the Son of God, and he is, then we must believe what he says and live according to his instructions if we want to be blessed. All right, so then he goes on. He said, O king, you are a king of kings. Now, of course, from our standpoint, verses 37 through 40 are history. These things have already happened. It's recorded in history. There's no doubt about Babylon. There's no doubt about the Medo-Persian Empire. There's no doubt about Greece, that it existed. There's no doubt that Rome rose and fell, correct? So we know that what Daniel says here is the word of God. It's true because it happened. And so if these kingdoms did come and they did go, there's only one left. And that's either the revived or the realigned Roman Empire. There's one kingdom left. Other than the millennial kingdom. All right, so we only have a few minutes left. He said, you are the king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Again, that's pretty bold speech before a king. The only reason you're where you're at and you are who you are is because of God. Wow, that's pretty bold. And he said, you have such a glorious kingdom that you basically are the great provider. Of course, Babylon was an extensive kingdom. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and fowls of heaven hath he given into thine hand, talking about the kingdom of Babylon, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Literally, a ruler with power. Thou art this head of gold. And what was Babylon called? It was called the Golden City. The Golden City, not by accident. And after thee, in 539 BC, shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Notice that the value of the metals that represent this kingdom, these kingdoms, decreases in value. The size of the kingdoms increase. Now, evolution says that man is progressively getting better, things are evolving, correct? We know that there's a law of thermodynamics. It says that everything is breaking down. And that's exactly what's happening with his image. The metals are getting less valuable. Now they're growing in strength, but not in value. And ultimately, of course, you get down to the feet, they're made of iron and clay. That's not very good. The opposite of evolution is what we see here. So the Medes and the Persians come next. After that, a third kingdom, which would be Greece, 331 BC, which shall rule over all the earth. So the kingdom size are growing. And that's the, you have the head of gold, you have the silver breasts and arms, you have the belly and thighs of brass or bronze. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That, of course, is Rome. They did use a lot of iron, for as much as iron breaks or crushes in pieces, and subdueth or shadows all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise or crush. Increasing strength, decreasing value. The legs of iron symbolized the first Roman Empire. The feet of iron and clay symbolized the revived or realigned Roman Empire that is yet to come. That has not happened yet. And next time we'll talk about, of course, a little bit about Antichrist and the 10 toes representing 10 kings. He'll start out by subduing three of those kings, and the East will fight. Remember, the Roman Empire had East and West. You had Constantinople, and then you had Rome itself. And what we're going to see in the end times, in the tribulation period, is great battles between the West and the East. Antichrist, of course, will be the ruler of the Western nations. It's going to be, I'm so glad that we're going to be taken out of here. There are many that disagree with that. Matter of fact, we just lost a couple over that. A couple are coming back to the church because we teach the pre-trib rapture. Got to do what you got to do, right? All right, questions, comments? Let me mark my Bible so I don't forget, because I will, though I often tell myself I won't. All right. Today is March the 29th. Regarding the evolution, I wrote out in my notes, from gold to dust, the opposite of evolution, which implies ascending man. That's what evolution implies. Increasing strength shows increasing military might in the times of the Gentiles, which leads to the final world conflict of Revelation 16 and 19, which Daniel refers to in chapter 11, verses 36 through 45. So we will, of course, look at that when we get there. All right, we got down through verse number 40. Let me mark that in my notes. No questions? Thank you, sir. Continue to pray for our church that God will give the increase. If God doesn't build a church, it doesn't get built, does it? But God has chosen us to tell others of his great love. Pray for our nation. I don't understand these no kings rallies. I don't get it. We probably have the most transparent president in our lifetimes. What do they want him to do? If he was a king, think of the things he could do if he thought he was a king. People are sick. Evil. Just flat out evil. What?
I don't see how they have the gall to do that when Biden broke the law so many times, and Obama. You know, like passed things that they weren't ever allowed or supposed to.
Yeah, but didn't they have a D by their name?
I know, but then they blame him for being a king when they True. Were the ones acting like kings, you know, like doing things. That
and they're clearly saying if they get control again, they're going after everybody, all the supposed mega people.
One thing I've found in my life that I've seen, and not just because they're Democrats, but because they have given themselves over to Satan, really, they don't realize that they have. They will always say, to accuse other people of things that they're actually doing. That is, if you read in the Bible,
True.
That happens every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Not just once in a while. Every time they do that. And that's what how Satan deceives. He's deceiving.
And calling evil good and good evil.
You really have to
Famous.
Pray for them because they're under deception. And that's mm-hmm. a foreshadowing of the great deception that's coming.
Amen. Amen, Billy. Pray that the Iran conflict will end soon. Pray for Israel, Ukraine, Venezuela, Cuba, etc., etc., etc. Basically, pray for our world. These are tedious times. Pray for our troops. God will protect them. Pray for the families of those that have already lost loved ones in the battle. Pray for law enforcement and ICE. I can't believe the the hatred for ICE? Did they do some things probably not too great? Yeah, probably. I mean, we're human beings. Are ICE robots or are they human beings? And unless we walk a mile in their shoes, we have no idea what it's like, do we? So you fix what's wrong and you go on. You don't eliminate what's getting rid of murderers and rapists and lawbreakers. Remember, every one of them are lawbreakers because they came in illegally. So none are innocent if they came here illegally. Following the laws that are in the books. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for Hope House. Pray for Mark. I put Mark and Ron. I forgot the A. I bet you probably add that. Mark and Ron. To pray for Bill, blood pressure, kidneys. Pray for Ronnie. Darlene down in Florida. Gary and Kathy are with his sister down in Florida for a couple of weeks. So pray for them. How's Brian getting along? Is he doing well? Did they ever figure it out, or he just got better?
I don't know if he's completely healed or what, but I still say it's a mystery healed by God. They did every test possible, and everything comes out okay. I mean, he's got a little bit of low arm, but other than that, and could you add on there Bill Middlecroft?
Bill what?
Middlecroft. Yeah, he's in the hospital in Winchester with pneumonia.
And then continue to pray for Riley Knotts, who had a farm accident, a friend of Rebecca. He's going to have another surgery on his leg. Yes, sir.
Thank you all for your prayers, your gifts, your kindness in the loss of my brother, and your prayers for Brian and his sickness.
Amen. How are you getting along?
Well, as you could expect.
And if you would, pray for me. Like I said, my heart's in AFib. And I didn't want to go to because they would have stuck me in the hospital. And it's Sunday, I got to teach and preach. And I wasn't, bedridden. Do feel weird. It's kind of, I'm preaching out of body today. It's the weirdest feeling. But I don't have any pain, so a little fluttered. I'm fluttering like a little butterfly. All right, let's stand together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for being the God of heaven. There is no other God but you, and all these other religions that claim that they have a God like Allah. No, our God is Jehovah God, as the Bible clearly states, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And we thank you that you revealed it to us. We didn't just one day decide that we're going to believe in Jesus and get saved. You revealed the truth of the gospel. And Lord, you gave us the faith to believe, all coming from your grace. It's unmerited. We don't deserve it. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us a path to eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's one here today, either in this hour or the one to come, that cannot say with assurance when I die or when the rapture occurs, I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray today would be the day of salvation. There'd be repentance and there would be faith in Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection. Thank you that our sin debt has been paid in full. We pray, Father, for these that are sick. We ask, Lord, that you would heal their bodies. We pray for the one undergoing surgery. We pray you'd guide the surgeon's hands and that if it be your will, you'd heal him. We thank you that Brian's doing better. We pray, Lord, for Bill Middlecroft in the hospital in Winchester, healing for him. And Lord, protect Gary and Kathy as they're in Florida and bring them back safely here in a couple weeks. Pray for Ronnie that you give him strength. So we tried to get a hold of him this week and never got a response. We pray, Lord, you'd give him renewed strength. I pray for Mark that you'd heal his body and raise him up as we know you can. Continue to give Rhonda faith and and strength as she goes through this. Please protect our troops and please end this war in Iran and also in Ukraine. Lord, please may you step in and may these wars end. Give our leaders wisdom, protect them. And Lord, I pray that you'd still the mouths of the God haters and the far left radicals that hate our nation, are trying to do everything they can to destroy it. Those that have, I think, a real disease, that Trump derangement syndrome that has swept so many. They're irrational, and it's obviously, in many cases, evil. Lord, I pray that you would bless the coming hour. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to be in church, to fellowship together, to study your word, and Lord, to cry out to you in prayer. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that shed blood. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.